Welcome back to the program on a very busy Tuesday. It is the good oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil is Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. The conversation started right now for Kia Sorento run out deals. 3 years free scheduled servicing plus Australia's best 7 year warranty. Tim Watson is in the studio. Liam Pickering, Jack Silvani to join us. I'm trying to talk to Paul Connors on this Jonathan Patton story that broke with Sam McClure yesterday. The story being that the big key forward for the GWS Giants, who's been up there since day one, he's had three knee reconstructions, been a terrible situation for that young man. According to Sam McClure's report, for 4 weeks now he's been full training, able to play, capable of playing, but is not making himself available for either the NEFL team or, in fact, the GWS team.
Why do you think that would be the case? There's probably a number of reasons as to why, but do you think he doesn't want to put himself out there again in case he gets injured and they're in some negotiation already with another club? Is that possibly a reason?
I totally understand from a physical point of view. I mean, you can't imagine what it would be like to come back from three reconstructions. Well, let's put it to his manager, one of the biggest and most influential managers in the country is Paul Connors, and he's been good enough to join us this morning. Welcome, Jake.
Thanks, Gary and Tim. I don't always come on, but I just thought I'd put it to bed quickly. I haven't even heard the grab, but young David gave me a little bit of a rundown on what went on. Look, Johnny's coming back from three knees, so unless you're in his shoes, no one can say what it's like to be in to have three knee reconstruction. So physically, if you want to say when was he ready, it's always probably about 12 months. But his housemate, Steve Canilio, he went down, did his, hurt his knee. It wasn't a knee. That spooked him no end. And I think David said there's a standoff. There's no standoff. He was probably ready, if you want to say, 4 weeks ago. But mentally, that's just as important, it's physically, and that's what Julian Feller would say to John and to us, and they're all happy that he,
We understand that. Jackie, let's have a listen to Sammy last night, and we'll put a couple of questions to you. Here's Sam McClure last night on Time On.
Greater Western Sydney number one draft pick, Jonathan Patton, it seems has placed his AFL career on hold, pending what is a near-certain trade to Hawthorn at the end of the season. Now, Patton has been absent from both senior and from NEFL grade football for the last month, despite the fact that he has been training fully. Now, the Giants are aware of this, and it's an intriguing standoff, which is becoming increasingly difficult.
So there's the story in a nutshell from Sam, and I understand your perspective, and I get it totally. 3D reconstructions.
There's no standoff. That's all I would say. So if Sam ran the, love Sammy. There's just no standoff. It's a mutual discussion.
Have they wanted him to play?
About 5 weeks ago, we all would have been getting excited that he was ready to play. He did pull up a bit sore a couple of times. So he went down and saw Julian, and I think between everyone, there's been good dialogue that they're all comfortable where it sits. And then his housemate did the knee, and that scared him no end. So I think Wayne Campbell and the team have handled it superbly, because he may get traded, but he's contracted to the footy club, and there's every chance he could be there. And the last thing John needs, he needs, is to get injured again. And we've seen that. We saw that with a number of people coming back a bit earlier. Then I think it's really well managed, to be fair. And I'm just been an observer, really, Gary.
So, good morning, Paul. So, you haven't given him the advice not to play in any way because of the possibility of doing a trade out of GWS?
No, and don't get me wrong. He's got, 6 months to get better physically, mentally, everything, coming back from what he's come back from. And if he's at, don't forget, he could also be at the GWS. So for both parties, it's a win, I think. The last thing we need is for him to be hurt. And sometimes you do get hurt when you're not switched on 100%, even at training or playing. So I'm supportive of how they've both managed it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think I'm really glad you came on, Jake, because the story, so I think what Sam's story is right, is that he's been okay and physically right, but pragmatically, from both the club and Jonathan's point of view, if he's psychologically not quite there, then the risk of coming back for both club and player, if it is in fact on the trade market, is maybe too great?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And he's been training, but just not doing everything as well. So he has got the loads in that are probably ready to play. But, I don't think it's the biggest story in town, but I think it's half right. And, as long as everyone knows, everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, it's an interesting story, given where we're at in terms of the trade period being just around the corner and he being someone who's going to be of obviously considerable interest to the Hawthorn Footy Club.
And Paul, I know you don't want to do your negotiations via the media, but in terms of where Jono is at, would you think that he would be wanting to move away from GWS, or has he not reached that point yet?
He was one of the first draft pick with Steve Cornelio. He loves Sydney. He loved the club. His relationship with Dave Matthews is second to none. I see him ending up working for the club a bit like Jamie Charman did at Brisbane. But it might be that their forward line's a bit packed and he might need an opportunity. But he'll look at that at the end of the year. And he's totally supportive of what the Giants are trying to do in the final series as well.
And, Paul, last night, I know that Steve Cornelio is not your player, but Al Clarkson spoke about him last night, the fact that he has had a chat face-to-face with Steve Cornelio about the possibility of going to the Hawks. In terms of, that raises a lot of people's eyebrows in this game about whether or not that should be taking place, but it happens all the time, does it not, that these types of conversations are going on between players and coaches, even though they may be contracted to another club?
I think what happens sometimes is, and there's been another window, because Steve's been injured, so I probably assume it's happened in the last month. I just prefer it does happen, but we don't need to really talk about it too much. And overall, I continue to say we've got the greatest game, the most loyal players, and on the whole, players are terrific, and I think clubs are, and everyone's really respectful. So our game's in a pretty good state.
So great to talk to you, mate. As we let you go, really appreciate it. You can just confirm there's no deal done or no deal in place for John Patton and the Hawthorn Footy Club?
No deal yet.
You're a good man. Appreciate you taking our call.
No dramas. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul Connors, who is the manager of John Patton. So out of that, no, there's people coming through. So Sam's made up another story. No, not at all. Sam's story is 100% right. He also went on to say that Sam said both club and player thought it'd be mutually beneficial for him not to be playing at this stage. I understand that. I don't know whether you do.
I completely understand that.
Because if the club want to trade John Patton, I don't know, but it would make sense given Himmelberg and Finlayson and Cameron are the way forward, then they don't want him.
They want him to be in the right space physically and mentally, don't they?
Of course they do. And they want to be able to package
it
up and
ways.
Put a big shiny bow on it, and Johnny Patton's going, well, me going back and playing two kneeful games in the back half of the last month, I mean, the risk and the reward far outweigh each other.
Do you think we know that this is Clarko? I'll play this grab first, and then we'll talk about this after it. This is Clarko on 360 last night on Fox.
Yeah, I've spoken to him. Yeah, but not as much as what Graham Wright and our group have with. We're not trying to actually get a crowbar and pull him out of GWS. But if he decides to play his footy elsewhere, then we want to try and compete with Geelong and everyone else, Carlton, whoever else might be in the scheme of things for Cogs, because he's a special player.
Now, we put calls into GWS this morning to see whether or not we could speak to Dave Matthews, their CEO, or Wayne Campbell, somebody around this, to see whether or not they're comfortable and happy with the fact that Cornelio, one of their players, is out there talking to other clubs. Would you expect that Steve Cornelio and his manager have spoken to GWS and said, look, I'm going to explore all my options, which they know that he's entitled to do, and regarding that, I will be talking to coaches from other clubs possibly and interviewing them. They'll be interviewing me. Do you think that conversation would have taken place?
I would think so. But you can't explore all other options unless you talk to, if Stephen Cornelio was contemplating going to Hawthorn, the most important person to talk to is Alistair Clarkson. The most important. I mean, the list manager, Graham Wright, and everyone else can present the case and present the game plan and where they're going to be in 5 years and who else they're trying to attract and all that sort of stuff. But the person you want to talk to most of all is the guy who's pulling the strings.
By all reports, there is more money being offered and a better contract deal being offered by Carlton than Hawthorn, St Kilda, or even GWS for him to stay. Right? How important do you think it is in the decision-making process for Steve Cornelio? What's happening at Carlton now? The fact that they've named a coach who appears to be really, really popular with the players and they've turned their season around and they're putting up better performances than they have. They're winning games. The fans are coming back. Yeah. The big, big club, Carlton, is about to roar again. Do you think that would be enticing now for Cornelio more so than it was, say, 3 months ago?
100%. 100%, Tim.
So the timing for Carlton, what they've done and how they're going and performing right now is a massive positive.
Perfect. If he's, and if he's wavering, then they should have shuffled him in heavy disguise to the MCG on Saturday and let him listen to the 50-odd thousand crowd just roar. And like that, the emotion in that game, St Kilda played their part as well, it was fantastic. That, I mean, that was genuine. That was the Carlton faithful voting with their feet saying, it's been a painfully long, unsuccessful period, but we believe and we're behind and we're going to show up. And then you go and watch them play. And, of course, that would be enticing.
It's a it's a sad fact in our game, okay? He goes to that game. Say he goes to the game at the MCG on Saturday and he experiences that. He hops on a plane on Saturday night. He flies back up to Sydney. He goes and watches his team play on Sunday against the Bulldogs at their stadium. Small crowd, very little atmosphere that you could feel, you know, watching that game.
Yep.
And you make that comparison and say, you know, where would I like to be playing my footy?
Yep.
Where I'd be like to be experiencing this or that. I mean, I know there's a strong pull of the players and, you know, being associated with what he has. And apparently he's one of the most popular, great team members that they have
great
up there.
Leader.
And, you know, what they've been able to build up there is really strong and powerful with that group of players. But gee, it's a massive pull to come back and play football in front of, you know, thousands of people at the MCG.
And he's not deserting them without having, like, they've been to prelims, they've been to semi-finals. Yeah. He's played a part in all of that, so it's not like he's...
He's paid his dues.
Tim's from Glen Waverley. G'day, Tim.
G'day, boys. Two things stood out from the couple of the interviews. One was Clarko calling Cornelio Cogs. I thought, gee, sounds like he's pretty good mates with him, calling him Cogs.
He's a big nickname user, Clarko.
And the second one was just the interview you had with Paul Connors.
Yep,
yes.
At the end, his final words, no contract yet.
Yes, I did hear that. We might replay that for everyone, Tim. It was very perceptive of you. I don't think there's too much doubt that he's going to end up at Hawthorn. I don't think Paul Connors was dodging around that too much either. But you can't say it right now, obviously. There's lots of water to go under the bridge. I don't think it's going to be any surprise.
Why would it be Hawthorn? Like, with Mitchell Lewis there...
Well, that's another question.
Why would it necessarily be Hawthorn? Because I would think both those players you'd be wanting to play in exactly the same position.
I did have the similar thought, in fact, Wisp, but they are clearly of the opinion that he fits in and provides something for them.
Brian's in Glen Waverley. Good morning, Brian.
G'day, how you going, fellas? I picked that up with Tim as well, what he just said a moment ago. Interesting, wasn't it? My point is, I remember the hysteria around Tom Lynch last year, Canberra assaulting him wherever he went, and you know the fact that he was talking to clubs when he was injured. Exactly the same situation. There's a lot of hysteria in the media around that. I suspect that the same culprits will be going for blood again this time. Or is there some sort of favouritism out there? So just the hypocrisy here and the way Lynch was treated last year as, a parasite, by leaving a club he'd been with for 8 years and had gossip, been having to actually talk to another club of any future.
I think is the difference here with Lynch is that was he a protected free agent and Cornelio becomes a free agent? Is that a minor difference here?
I don't think it matters ethically either way.
I think the other part to that also was the fact that the Suns made a statement around that as well, and that actually poured a little bit more petrol on the whole flame.
Indeed. Hey, thanks, Brian. We've got to take a break. The conversation started for Kia Cerrito. Run out deals for 3 years. Free scheduled servicing. Well done, everyone, getting Paul Connors on. We appreciate him adding to this story, which is a really interesting one, given where the trading landscape is at. Australia's best 7-year warranty, by the way, with Kia's Sorento run-out deals. We'll be back with more after this.